A recent report has shown that when it comes to having international schools, no country has quite as many as China, and this trend isn't slowing down. Are so many of these schools necessary, and why are Chinese parents choosing them over for their kids' education? Guys, let's talk about this. What's going on?
Okay, before we move on, then we have to introduce this report a little bit.
Okay.
This 2017 China International Schools Development Report
was
published by New School Insight. That's a service platform consisting of senior experts in the international school industry.
Okay.
And the report was published on its public WeChat account on November the 6th. And this is the third report since 2015. I think it's an annual report.
Okay.
And this report says that it has become a trend for more Chinese students to receive internationalized education. And as the Chinese economy develops rapidly, the international education in China also grows gradually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the report says gradually. Some would argue that is rather rapidly.
Growing
very fast. Yeah. So international schools in China, there's no official definition of that, but they do fall into three categories, like schools for foreign nationals living in China. Sometimes the foreign embassies in China, they set up international schools for their staff. That makes sense. And so they offer the same educational system of their mother country and teach the courses in their native languages. See?
Mm.
This is the earliest type of international schools in China. And according to a guideline released in 1995, such schools can only enroll foreign students with a residence certificate in China.
So these schools, just to set the record straight, international schools aren't having Chinese nationals in them.
Yeah.
And there are some international classes or schools for Chinese students.
Yes.
Okay.
For example, the international classes or departments in public schools. Now, such classes or departments only exist in the senior high school period.
Mm-hmm.
Beijing and Shanghai, for example, and they will no longer approve such classes or departments in public schools. And the already existing international classes or departments would be separated from public schools gradually. And take the Beijing No. 4 High School as an example. It is actually one of the top high schools in Beijing. Its international class moved to Changping District, that's a suburban region, in the beginning of 2016 and was changed into a public school.
Yes, and those are the legacy of an earlier stage when Chinese schools are experimenting with all kinds of teaching methods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was the way to go international for schools.
So now, you guys said there was three. What's the last one then?
Mm-hmm. Last one is private international schools.
Okay.
They're run by private investment and a China foreign joint venture. So companies from China and maybe United States they join together and then found a school.
Yeah, as far as I know, these kind of private international schools have been thriving in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, including primary schools and middle schools and that kind of all kinds of schools.
Mm-hmm.
And especially Chinese parents, they like these kind of schools very much.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, do you guys, so talking about these schools, we've mentioned the three different kinds, okay?
Yes.
But so what are the ones that are growing? Kind of what are the numbers here that we're seeing that we know that there's growth happening for international schools?
Well, in 2010, China had only 384 international schools.
Mm-hmm.
However, by October 2017, there have been 734 international schools.
Wow.
Which have got the curriculum certification all over the country, including 126 schools for children of foreigners, that's falling into the number one category, and 367 private international schools and 241 international classes in public schools. So most of them appears to be in the private investment sector, private international schools, naming all Chinese students can have access to.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you guys. What would be the difference, in your opinion, from like a private international school education as opposed to like a public school education here in China?
International schools, I think, is more about international curriculum and courses for students.
Okay.
And students don't have to take the college entrance exam. That's not necessarily a good thing for students because you don't have to misunderstand that international schools and these students in these schools do not have any pressure. Because as far as I know, some very good international schools, they have a very strict evaluation system for the students. That means students also have a lot of pressure in studying.
Mm-hmm. You had to work hard to qualify as a member of that school, right? And also, I think a lot of the schools, let's look into the courses offered by the schools.
Right.
Of the 734 international schools in China, 356 schools offer A-level courses. A-level means General Certificate of Education Advanced Level.
Okay.
Those are mostly for high school students in the UK, United Kingdom. And another 252 schools offer AP courses. I think you're more familiar with that concept.
Yes, yes. So advanced placement, and these are commonly seen for high school students in the U.S. And as an understand as well, you have 118 schools providing IB, International Baccalaureate Diploma Program, a two-year education program, internationally accepted as a qualification for entry into higher education and recognized by many universities worldwide, right?
Yes.
But so looking at these different things, they're getting a credit, not of like here in China, but somewhere else, right?
Yes.
So it seems like maybe a lot of these schools are an investment in education outside of China as well. Not just, you know, you're doing an international school, like Zheng Wan had said, learning maybe that kind of curriculum, but also maybe you're looking for a future at a college or university outside of China, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, most likely, because on the one hand, you get certificate like AP or A-level that are accepted in the UK or in the United States or in other Western countries.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. And also, students in those international schools don't necessarily have to take the Chinese college entrance exam.
Mm.
That sort of promises that maybe the way to further your study in the future is not through the Chinese education system, like go to a Chinese university. Other than that, instead, you just have to apply to maybe try and make it into a Western university in the UK or in the United States. And I mean, it can get very competitive for Chinese students, even who are known for being hardworking students.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very difficult for them to make it to Ivy League schools. But on the other hand, there are so many decent international universities out there, not just in the United States or in the United Kingdom, South Africa, Singapore. They all have very offers of very good schools.
Right.
So for students who don't necessarily can prosper in the regular Chinese schools, maybe studying in the international schools and trying to find an opening in any of these decent international universities is a way to start their career or start their life.
I remember when we were a child, we often talk about, you know, universities here in China, like Tsinghua University, the Peking University, and or those very famous universities in other cities around the country. But now, if you talk to these young people, for example, the middle school students, they and their parents would talk about, you know, universities from around the world, those prestigious universities. Just look at the number that the international schools thriving from 2015 to 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Among the three types of international schools, the number of private international schools increased a lot. The number of international classes in public schools and schools for foreigners, children increased gradually. That's about 14 or 13 new schools in 3 years.
Yeah.
But for the private international schools, they increased from 257 in 2015 to 367 in 2017.
So you know what's interesting, too, is that in this increase right now, most international schools are still located in first-tier cities like Guangdong. They have 129, Shanghai 124, and of course, Beijing 119. But something really interesting here is there are also more than 80 international schools in Jiangsu province, okay, and over 60 such schools in Zhejiang province. I guess where the economy is kind of becoming more prosperous, we're seeing more of these schools. Of course, also Sichuan province has 30, Tianjin over 20, and Chongqing 16. So this isn't something just exclusive to first-tier cities. Now we see this kind of education system growing outside of first-tier cities. And so my question to you is, you know, why are parents choosing this? Obviously, not just in first-tier cities, but in other places as well.
Well, I think especially parents who care a lot about their kids' education, mm-hmm. they naturally want to look for the places which can offer the best education. It's natural for them to want an international education when they believe that their foreign counterparts can have more to offer.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look into the history, I mean, people looking for international education isn't a new thing. The Roman education system was based on the Greek system. And yeah. many of the private tutors in the Roman system were Greek slaves or freed men. Oh. So the Romans, they are very good soldiers and engineers. They built mm-hmm. very good roles. But they're not necessarily very well-versed in rhetoric or philosophy.
Okay.
That's where Greek teachers come in. So there's also been a century's pursuit of international education since 1872 in China, mm-hmm. when we sent our first batch of 120 overseas students to the United States. So the Chinese are a people who still seek to catch up with what's going on in the world. And when parents believe their kids can get better education overseas, they naturally think of obviously we send the kids to an international school.
Absolutely. I mean, the statistics we have here, the number of Chinese people studying abroad grew 179,000 in 2008 to 544,000 in 2016. So what you're saying is definitely true. But guys, okay, so if I'm looking at an international school for my kid, mm-hmm. I'm a Chinese parent, how much am I paying?
Ooh. That's really a very large number.
No.
I give you an exact exact number. The tuition fee is 800 yuan per year for a student in an ordinary public high school in Beijing.
Yeah.
I give you this number first because I want to have you let you make a comparison between the tuition fee in those international schools.
Yes.
But if the student goes to an international school, he needs to pay more than 100,000 yuan a year. Some well-known international schools even cost a student over 300,000 yuan a year, which is several hundred times of that in an ordinary public high school.
375 times, to be precise. I did a calculation earlier when I read about this.
You're so good
That's
at math.
That's insane.
I'm thinking
did
about
you go
that.
To an international school?
No, I didn't. That's why my math
That's
is
very
so
good.
Good.
Because you're good at math. But, you know, here's a really good example. Let's say Beijing Shuni International School charges 214,000 yuan, 227,000 yuan, and 246,000 yuan a year. As that student progresses, you're seeing the price go up, I imagine.
Yeah.
A year for a student in its primary school, junior high school, and senior high school, respectively. Not just this, guys. But let's take another part of this New School Insight report. It revealed that the Nord Anglia Chinese International School, that is the NACIS in Shanghai, is listed in the U.S.
Mm.
You know what's crazy? It earned 856 million U.S. dollars last year, according to its 2016 financial report. Its gross profit, that means the money it made after it paid all of its bills,
mm-hmm.
was $334 million. Dollars,
wow!
Taking up 40% of its revenue. 40% of it was just money made.
It's a good business.
Yeah.
It's a good business. So my next question is,
yes.
are there companies here in China getting involved on this obviously very lucrative business plan?
Yes. Realistic companies are joining in too. Yeah.
Yes. I believe so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, the land cost for an international school took up 8% to 15% mm-hmm. of its total cost. If the real estate company develops the school, the cost can be transferred directly into profit because we just mentioned such companies are making 40% in
revenue,
of its revenue in pure profit. So that's a good business model. Plus, I mean, real estates coming with these excellent schools sell at a premium.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe an apartment can sell at $50,000 a square meter
mm-hmm.
if it's just an ordinary apartment.
Yeah.
But a different apartment with access to a good school can easily go up to like 70,000 yuan per square meter.
Mm-hmm. You're totally right. The Guangdong County Garden School is an international school, I guess, under the Bright Scholar Education Group. one of the largest K-12 school operators in China. The school, at first, I guess the school was established to promote the sales of 10,000 apartments that this real estate project owned. And education plus housing property, they've been a successful business model. Now, exactly what Lai Ming said is basically, if you have a great school, people are going to want to go there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Education is really valued in China, of course.
They're willing to pay more.
Not just for the school, but the apartments around the school.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple other ones here, like JD.com. Jianglun, what's JD.com doing?
This month, Liu Qiangdong, CEO and chairman of Chinese e-commerce giant JD.com, announced on WeiTouTiao.com, a light information platform, that the company's next goal is to build the world's best international school and hospital after it cooperated with the high school affiliated to Renmin University of China and built an affiliated school in Yizhuang Economic and Technology Development Zone. And just now, Ryan, you mentioned that the international schools have been thriving in Zhejiang province.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can know that partners of e-commerce giant Alibaba also founded an international school in Hangzhou in 2017.
Mm-hmm. That's Zhejiang province.
Yeah, that's Zhejiang province.
This is interesting because, I mean, we see now the big online companies here in China, JD.com, Alibaba, they're not just selling you stuff. Now they're selling you your education through the means of a great school. We see real estate companies getting involved in this. So, you know, we have some research here, but why are parents sending their kids to these schools? I mean, Lai Ming, you had touched on it, but Jianglun, you're a mom. Mm-hmm. Why are these Chinese parents doing this?
I'm not sure that I can, you know, understand it well, because I don't think I'm one of those moms who will send the kid to international schools.
And why is that?
Because I have three reasons. First of all, look at the difference. I mean, the tuition fee difference. I cannot pay that.
300 times. Yeah,
800 yuan versus 100,000 yuan a year. You can see the difference. I would like to, you know, use the 100,000 yuan to take the kid to travel around the world,
or
instead of, you know, sending him or her to an international school.
That amount of money can afford you many tutorials.
Yeah, because I really don't believe that the more the merrier when it comes to the relevance between, you know, how much tuition fee you pay and how well your kid will learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think some obvious ones we know is maybe parents do plan on sending their kid abroad. Or, you know, we could also say that, as I understand, there are many popular reality shows starring kids who are celebrities. They're fluent in English, and it's attracting many parents to focus on maybe an international school as a choice for their kids' education.
Yeah.
I mean, recently, this was big news, I know, in the U.S., I think also here. So media helps this trend grow. Like recently, Disney announced their new live-action Mulan. This is exciting.
Yeah.
For so many people, this was a part of their childhood. And I guess they chose actor Liu Yifei, which I've heard
gorgeous.
Some of my friends say, my Chinese friends say, they don't think her acting's the greatest. But the thing is, she got this role. It's going to be iconic because she studied English in New York for a while. But she knows English. I know that's for sure. And so look at that door that it opened for her. So I think this is another big reason. But here's one of the biggest questions I have for you. Okay, this trend is growing, all right? And it is investing your talent, your smart kids in an education and possibly a life outside of China.
Yeah.
Because they're not studying for the Gaokao as much as they're studying for other accredited tests. So A, maybe your kids are leaving, and these are some of your best and brightest kids, because to get into these international schools, you have to get certified. You have to perform well on a test. So these kids are leaving. And on top of that, even if they're not leaving, do you think it's a problem that there's just like a bunch of Chinese students learning an education system not of their own country, and that something might be getting lost? Maybe a not as good understanding of Chinese. What do you think?
Just now, I've shown you the first reason that I don't want my kid to be in international school when he was a child.
Yeah.
And second reason is I really want my kid to learn, you know, how to get along with most people in China, because she is a Chinese. And if, you know, she for example, in primary school, she studied in international school, and maybe the only group of people she can get along with is the, you know, what we say, the elite families or middle-class families. So that's why I said maybe if I really want her to understand more about Chinese culture and to get a deep understanding of most Chinese people, I really like, you know, she is with most Chinese kids.
Same here. I think that's this, the kind of sentiment that's shared by people who can speak two languages. I mean, people who speak Chinese and speak English, who may be able to understand Western culture and Chinese culture both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, having learned English and Chinese culture, I think having compared those two, I think it's much easier to get to know and understand Western culture than it is for a Chinese culture.
But do you think it's necessary to have a kid to learn, you know, another language when he or she was still a kid?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because we started to learn a foreign language maybe in middle school or the second half of primary school.
I'm with you too, because I like my kids. I don't have a kid yet, but I like my kids to have a root in Chinese culture because it's, well, practically speaking, the 21st century is going to be the century of Asia and China is at the center of it. And I imagine my kids are going to spend his life or her life in Asia, in China. So learning and knowing about Chinese culture and Chinese language is going to help him or her a lot in the future. Mm-hmm. And also, the other practical reason, it is a lot harder to learn Chinese than it is to learn to learn English.
Yeah. You know, I would agree with you guys on some level. I mean, I think Asia is going to play a huge part in our future. And I think that's something to be very proud of. Mm-hmm. And also, one should know their culture. And maybe that's not necessarily going to happen as easily in an international school, but we are becoming a globe that is united in so many ways, doing business together. And so there are some benefits, I think, that can be reaped from a better understanding of English. Mm-hmm. But at what cost? That's really the question I have. But it's Round Table with myself, Ryan Price, Lai Ming, and Zhang Wan.